This is session number 35 of the Gospel according to John. We're in John chapter 4, and today we come to verse 43. This story from verses 43 through 54 is going to be Jesus' second miracle. We'll get into the text now. Verse 43 says, "Now after 2 days, he departed thence and went into Galilee." Now, just quick refresher, Jesus had spent the last 2 days in Samaria. Now, this is territory that Jews didn't even usually go through, let alone stay in and hang out in. But like we saw earlier in the chapter, Jesus Christ must needs go through Samaria, because Jesus Christ saw that the fields were white already to harvest. Jesus didn't judge the way other men judged. Jesus saw the value of souls, and he saw there was a harvest in Samaria. And he spent 2 days with the Samaritans before he went and departed into Galilee. I was just going to throw this out there, this 2 days. In 2 Peter chapter 3, and in verse 7 and 8 and 9, God gives a real key to understanding end times and understanding prophetic pictures. And the key is that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. And Peter got that by the revelation of the Holy Ghost, reading through the book of Psalms, as Moses said basically the same thing back in Psalm chapter 90. One day with God equals 1,000 years with men. So we see these 2 day things throughout the scriptures, and especially throughout the gospels. Here, Jesus spends 2 days with people who were never supposed to hear the gospel according to men before he goes back into Jewish territory, goes back into proper Israel to go back to dealing with Israel. 2 days. Later in John 11, we're going to see that when Jesus receives word that Lazarus is sick, again, Lazarus is a Jew, he's a man of Israel, here's word that he's sick. It says that he abode 2 days in that place. So after he receives news that Lazarus is sick, he stays there for 2 days before he goes to resurrect Lazarus from the dead. In Luke, people came to Jesus and said, "Herod's going to come get you. You got to get out of here." He said, "You go tell that fox I do cures today and tomorrow and the third day I shall be perfected." Do cures today and tomorrow. That's 2 days. And the third day I shall be perfected. There's a key prophecy back in the book of Hosea. In Hosea, at the end of chapter 5 and then rolling into chapter 6, God speaking says, "I'll be unto Ephraim as a lion and as a young lion to the house of Judah. I, even I, will tear and go away. I will take away and none shall rescue him. I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early." Okay, so the Lord says, "I'm going to tear Ephraim. I'm going to tear the house of Judah. I'm going to go and return to my place until they acknowledge their offense and seek my face." So, in one sense, it looked like the Jews tore Jesus on that cross. But in another sense, God was actually tearing and ripping away from the house of Judah and from Israel that day. And when Christ died, the earth ripped in two and the veil of the temple ripped in two. And he tore the priesthood, and he tore their worship, and he tore their offerings, and he tore their sacrifices, and he tore their holy place away. And he started something brand new. And he said, "I'm going to go back to my place till they acknowledge their offense. I'm going to go back to my place till they acknowledge their offense." Remember, Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." That's where he was going back to. "Until they acknowledge their offense and seek my face." So Israel rejected their Messiah. They said, "We'll not have this man to reign over us." Said, "We have no king but Caesar. His blood be on us and on our children." And so he tore, and he went back to his place. But then in chapter 6, it says, "Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up." Watch this. "After 2 days will he revive us. And the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight." You see that? After 2 days. How long did Jesus abide with the Samaritans before he went back into Israel to deal with Israel? 2 days. How long did Jesus abide where he was when he received word of Lazarus being sick until he returned to Israel to resurrect the dead? 2 days. He told them to go tell Herod, "I do cures today and tomorrow. The third day I'll be perfected." Here it says, after 2 days he'll revive us. That's Israel. The third day he'll raise us up. That's resurrection. That's Christ returning back to earth to resurrect the dead. It says 2 days. Now remember, 2 Peter, a day with the Lord, this is 1,000 years. Christ went back to heaven around 30 AD, maybe 31 AD, maybe 32 AD, maybe 33 AD. Nobody knows for sure. Somewhere between 29 and 33, it looks like, is when he went back. It's when he ascended back. Said after 2 days, coming back to raise him. For 2 days, he's working with the Samaritans, amen. A bunch of us, nobody Gentiles who don't deserve anything. But Jesus loves us and he came our way. But after 2 days, he's going back. John 4, now after 2 days, he departed thence and went into Galilee. Now why did he go into Galilee? Verse 44, for Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. You can read Luke chapter 4, and I would encourage you to read it. Read about how Jesus Christ was treated by his hometown. Listen, this is a reality. I don't know why, but it just is. You're a prophet. You're not received by your own. You're not received in your own home. You're not received in your own country. You might be received as a nice guy in those places, but when you start prophesying, when you start taking the word of God and bringing it to life right there in that present situation in your home, you bring it to the reality for right now today. Unless you're a false prophet, if you're a false prophet, oh, you'll be loved by your hometown and by your family. But if you're a true prophet of God, he said, a prophet hath no honor in his own country. So, that's why, verse 45, then when he was coming to Galilee, the Galileans received him. See, so he didn't go back into Nazareth. So again, this is the beginning of his ministry. So remember, he was raised in Nazareth. Then he went to John the Baptist. He was baptized in Jordan. He went off into the wilderness for 40 days. He came back in the power of the Spirit. And from there, he made his first trip to Jerusalem. And now, this is after his first trip to Jerusalem. Again, he went there to fulfill the feast of the Passover. That's where he threw the people out of the temple. And then, now, on the way back from Jerusalem, he doesn't go back to Nazareth. He goes through Samaria, and now he goes into Galilee. And it says that the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast. For they also went into the feast. And so, just seeing here that his ministry home base was not his hometown. And really, in a sense, it kind of couldn't be. So that's why verse 46, so Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. So he comes back. Comes back. Again, the Galileans received him. That kind of, verse 45, it just, noting the similar language to chapter 1, verse 12, where it says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. You know, they received him. And like we saw, Jesus gained a quick popularity, and he gained some honor for his actions at the temple, and also for, especially for these people in Cana of Galilee, where he made the water into wine. So there's this new prophet in town. He's got power, he's got authority through all these money changers and all these people taking advantage of the people, threw them out of the temple. So there's an excitement, you know? But now in verse 46, it says, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. So Jesus is in Galilee, and he's in Cana of Galilee, and this nobleman's son is sick at Capernaum. Now, Jesus' main ministry home base, it appears, was in Capernaum, but right now he's not in Capernaum. He's in Cana of Galilee. And so in verse 47, it says, when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him. Okay, so just looked it up, and Cana of Galilee is about 16.5 miles from Capernaum, or about 25.5 kilometers. So it's a decent journey for back then. His son is sick. He's in Capernaum, and he hears Jesus is in Cana of Galilee, so it's not too far away. And this nobleman, he comes. He went to him, you know, no hesitation. I think at this point there was no other option. So he went unto him, and it says, and he besought him. He besought Jesus. He besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So he comes in humility, beseeching Jesus Christ. I think he's really at the point where he realizes he has no other hope, and he heard about Jesus' miracle. He heard about Jesus' deeds. There's a stir. John the Baptist has been preaching that the one is coming after who's mightier. He's beseeching, and I love the wording here. It says he besought him that he would come down and heal his son. You know, the truth is Jesus has to humble himself to come down to our level and to our needs and to minister to us. Now, I know it's talking geographically in the verse, but I'm taking that. I love that wording. Jesus has to come down. But praise God, he does come down. Amen. He does come down. Now, there's going to be some interaction here with Christ. So he's, Lord, please, please come down. Verse 48, Jesus is going to speak. Then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. Except. Jesus knows everything about us. He says, except ye see. Notice ye, that ye in the King James English, that's plural. That's not just you singular. He doesn't say except thou. He says, except ye, that's all of you, you and your family. And he knows. Except ye see, right? See, faith. But there is faith made sight, okay? So it's not necessarily wrong to see. I want us to understand that. You don't necessarily always have to see, but with these people, Jesus Christ said, except ye see. Except ye see what? Signs and wonders. Okay, remember, he's speaking to a Jewish man. 1 Corinthians 1:22 says the Jews require a sign. See, this isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's just a reality. This is how God birthed their nation. He birthed the nation of Israel with signs and wonders and miracles. That's how he confirmed to the nation that Moses was a true prophet of God, that he was a true man of God. It was through signs and wonders and miracles. And this is, too, how Jesus is going to be proved to be the Messiah. Now, signs, wonders, and miracles in and of themselves are not sufficient. There has to be faith mixed with those signs, wonders, and miracles as they see. But for the Jews, and with this nobleman and his family, says, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. Ye will not believe. Again, that key word, ye. He's not just talking to the man. He's talking to the man and his whole family. The nobleman's response, verse 49, the nobleman saith unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. Sir. Okay, so he's not Lord yet. He doesn't realize he's Lord yet. He's just sir. You know, he realizes this is a man of honor. Sir, come down ere my child die. He really sees no hope unless Jesus goes to his son. He sees no hope. Come down ere my child die. Now, in one sense, it's a good thing. He's coming to Christ, and he's seeing no hope without Christ. But in another sense, we see how he's limited in his faith. He's limited in his understanding. He only thinks there's hope if Jesus comes to his son. But you see, Jesus is not limited by time and place and position. Amen? He says, you got to come down or else my child's going to die. Watch what Jesus says. verse 50. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. I love it. Jesus has the final word. All throughout John, you're going to see Jesus having the final word. He says, go thy way. So Jesus doesn't need to come. Jesus doesn't need to go where you tell him to go. You think, oh, if only Jesus was here, then... No, Jesus doesn't need to be there. He can just give his word. He can just send his word. He can just send you. He says, go thy way. He sends. It's interesting, too, how he tells this man, go thy way. It's just one of the realities. Not all are called to be close to Jesus. He didn't say, hey, you love your son more than me. Why don't you follow me and be my disciple, and then your son will be healed. He didn't say that. He said, go thy way. Thy son liveth. Not everybody is called to be that close to Jesus, to be a disciple, walking close with him and seeing all the signs and wonders and preaching. So he tells him, go thy way. Thy son liveth. Now, I love this. Thy son liveth. That's absolute truth. Now, we're going to see, right after Jesus says this, it says, and the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. We're going to talk about that in a second, but I want you to understand this. Whether the man believed or not really doesn't matter. I mean, it matters for him, and it matters for him, his family, but it really doesn't matter for his son, because Jesus said, thy son liveth. Something we got to understand, Jesus' word is absolute truth. It's not dependent at all on what we do with it. He declares truth, and it is, whether we believe it or not. So if this man didn't believe Jesus' word, his son was still healed right then. But praise the Lord, because he does, we're going to see how it's going to lead to faith in Christ. When we do believe Jesus' word, it just leads to our faith in him, and then we believe in him, and then we give glory to him and all those things. But you got to understand, Jesus' word has the power of life and death, and it's absolute. And his word brings hope. Amen? This man had no hope except for Jesus coming to his son. But now he's realizing, actually, Jesus doesn't need to come to my son. Jesus just needs to speak the word. It says, and the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him. Hallelujah. Jesus' word is true whether or not we believe it. But when we believe it, it allows us to personally enter into the hope of Christ and grow in faith. And notice, he believed the word, so what does it say? And he went his way. Amen. It's impossible to believe Jesus' word and not obey him. You know what I'm saying? There's this concept where I can just believe in Jesus, but I don't actually obey Jesus. It's really not possible. He says, go thy way, thy son liveth. So he believes the word and he goes his way. He went his way. Obedience to the word of Christ brings blessing. But faith and obedience really go hand in hand. Okay, and so then now in verse 51, now this is just neat. This is neat, and this is the way the Lord works. When you respond in faith and you respond in obedience, even if you don't have a full, complete faith or understanding, but you respond in faith with obedience, the Lord will bring what you need to confirm and strengthen your faith. He'll bring that to you. That's the kind of Lord we have. So verse 51, and as he was now going down, I love that word now. I mean, here we are in 2020. I'm recording this in 2020. And as he was now going down, I love that. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Even right now, God can still bring confirmation. As he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Isn't that awesome? Come on now. Isn't that awesome? They give the exact same word that Christ gave. Well, you talk about a confirmation. Christ says, go thy way, thy son liveth. And he believes the word and he goes. And he's obeying. Now, that doesn't mean that doubt isn't trying to attack his mind on the way. That doesn't mean there's some fear and there's some apprehension and some nervousness. It doesn't mean that. But he went and responded in faith. But I'm sure there's some doubts. I'm sure there's uncertainties. But he's holding on to that faith and he's going. And all of a sudden, these guys come meet him. It says, now, as he's going, they come and they say, thy son liveth. The exact same words Christ said. What a confirmation. What a blessing. And verse 52, then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. I love this. You know, the Lord doesn't mind inquisitive minds. You know, sometimes people think believing in the Lord means you don't ever question, just absolute believe. And I believe we should just absolutely believe, and we shouldn't question him with the wrong motives or with the wrong heart. But the Lord likes if you're inquisitive and wants to understand how he works and what he does and what time, and understanding the whole workings of man, of God's plan with man from the beginning to the end. He likes that stuff. And he inquires, when's the hour when he began to mend? And they said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So verse 53, it says, so the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said to him, thy son liveth, and himself believed and his whole house. Hallelujah. Love it. Love it. Verifies those details. It's the seventh hour. Now that's a key number. It's a key number throughout the scriptures, and especially in John's writings. Seven is a key number. You go to Revelation big time, and even in John, seven and eight are really key numbers here. There's a lot of sevens that complete, but then there's an eighth that's of a new beginning. Okay, they're like, I'll show you as we go through. Seven and eight are key numbers through here. The seventh hour, the fever left him. The exact same time that he himself believed and his whole house. You know, he had a faith. It says he believed, but now it says himself believed. I think at this point, there was no lingering doubt. It was completely cast out. Again, I think he had that grain of mustard seed. He really believed. But there was that doubt. There were those fears. There were those things. What if, you know, and he's trying to hold on to it. And then once that confirmation came, and again, the confirmation came through the word of his servants confirming the word of Christ, and he still hadn't even seen his son, and he believed. But when he got back and he told the story, and the servants told the story, how they met, the whole house believed. Hallelujah. It just reminds you of Acts 16, 31 and 32. And I don't know if this is an absolute promise of God to all men. I don't know, but there's something to this, you know? I got to say, there's something to it. This is when that Philippian jailer brought out Paul and Silas. Said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. I love it. And they spake on him the word of the Lord and all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. It's just something about that, you know? A real man who has authority over his house. A real man who is the real head of his house. When he comes to faith in Jesus Christ, you better believe that whole house is coming to faith. I really believe that. Again, I'm not saying it's an absolute promise, but I mean, there's just something. I see it throughout the scriptures. Every solid man who really owned his home, man, the whole house comes to faith. Now look, you can grow up and eventually depart from the house and depart from the faith, and you can go off into apostasy and go off into reprobation. But when you're under that man's roof in that house, there's just something about that. Love it. And so verse 54 says, this is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. And so here we see that first miracle, Jesus turned the water into wine. We saw that was a picture of his word filling us. And then in obedience and drawing out and serving in faith, drawing out and serving in faith, even though all we got is water, but we're going to draw it out. In that process, boom, new wine, Holy Ghost joy. And here we see a healing of a son at the word of Christ. Christ isn't even present. It's not even present. Just go thy way, thy son liveth. And we see the power of the word of Christ to heal, to restore, to cast out the fever, to cast out the wickedness, to cast out the darkness that's trying to bring death. That's the power of the word of Christ. And we see, what's our response supposed to be to the word of Christ? Just believe. Even if we don't have solid 100% faith, I'm sure this guy didn't have solid 100% faith, but he just held onto that word and he obeyed. Just believe and obey. Believe and obey. Just believe and obey. And as you go, God will bring the confirmation. He'll bring the extra support. He'll bring the extra strength to strengthen that faith till eventually all doubt is gone and you will believe and all your house in Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, let it be so. Let it be so. Let everybody who's hearing this teaching, every man who's hearing this teaching, Lord, may they believe and all their house that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, with all power, power to heal, power to restore, power to save, power to free, power to liberate, power to make new, power to drive out the darkness, power to save from death and hell. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen and amen.